right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And on the line, my good friend Reggie Jackson of Nurturing Diversity Partners. You know, Reggie, you just continue, and we just keep continuing this uphill battle. It's you hear right now, people are really concerned about the war in Ukraine and all those poor people, and rightfully so. If you have a heart at all, that's beating, and you see how those people are being treated, you know, you have to say that's inhumane, and nobody deserves that. But you can't then, on the other hand, be unmindful and unfeeling about what continues to happen in this country to people of color who are in such an unfathomable condition. You know, people can say, well, you know, for heaven's sakes, 12 people were shot the other day in Sacramento, California, and there's a correlation between behavior and what has happened to people. You know, you talked about these people working, young people working, and not just young, not just you know, minors, but adults. I know adults, man, who work for $10 an hour. You know, they go to work every day, man. They don't even allow them to get 40 hours in so they can receive benefits. I mean, there is something insidious about our nation, and people need to be pointing that out.
Yeah, you know, I think we as Americans love to pretend that, you know, we're this exceptional country. We're so great. We do everything perfectly. We do everything so well. But, Earl, listen, this is what Americans, the average American needs to wake up to the reality that over the last 50 years in this country, Americans have become more productive in their work than they've ever been before. Yet our wages have went the opposite direction. We're working harder, more productive. We're making more money for the companies that we're working for, but we're getting a smaller and smaller piece of the pie. And so when we talk about the situation that people are dealing with in terms of looking at the conditions in certain communities, they're too busy blaming the wrong people for what's going on in their community. People in rural Wisconsin are complaining about, you know, so-called welfare cheats in Milwaukee, as if there's not welfare cheats in their community, right?
Right.
You know, first of all, a welfare cheat, what are you really getting out of cheating welfare to begin with? It's piddly dollars, right? It's nothing significant. So it's just like saying, I'm going to rob somebody and take 2 pennies out of their pocket. It's nothing. It's insignificant. Instead of them understanding that the way our economy works is that we keep allowing these rich, super rich people, the Jeff Bezos of the world, Elon Musk of the world, to just rake in money. And instead of us looking and saying, there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with these corporations that are giving people, you know, $800 million a year as a salary and things of this nature. Instead of us saying there's something wrong with it, we celebrate these people. We act like they're special. Like, oh, my goodness, I wish I could be that person one day. And it's like, do you understand how many people have to be crushed under their feet for them to be billionaires in the way that they are? You have all of these people. I mean, think about these Amazon workers that just finally formed a union.
Right.
You know, there's no reason, Earl, and you grew up as a union guy, right?
Your dad, a union guy.
You understand. People who understand how unions work is that the union wages make the prevailing wages in that community increase. You're paying more. At the union shop, you have to pay more outside the union shop because people are like, well, I'll just go to the union shop. If you're not going to give me what I want to get. So instead of us recognizing the power of unions and collective bargaining and how that will lift all of us up as you know, working class people that work, like you said, hard. work really hard. Instead of us doing that, we're like, well, you know, it's okay. These millionaires deserve what they have. They deserve the tax breaks. It's absolutely ridiculous how uneducated we are.
You know, Reggie, it's so insidious what took place. They broke unions mm-hmm. at the height of their power was the reason that there was a middle class in this country. And they mm-hmm. set about breaking and vilifying unions. And mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. went along with it. Oh, well, those union mm-hmm. people, they're spoiled brats and never mm-hmm. really understood what was taking place. And so they wanted to see unions destroyed. What did they do? They destroyed all unions for the most part, except for police and fire unions. Or those mm-hmm. unions are, you know, they're okay. Those unions we like, but any other unions, basically we vilify. Well, mm-hmm. teachers' unions. Well, those are horrible unions. They're the mm-hmm. enemy. And they really were right. masterful at what they did. But the people did not realize that they were being set up. And so when you right. talk about capitalism, the way so many in this country talk about it, Reggie, and you know it well, better than most, it's almost like you and the average Joe who's slaving away thinks he's a capitalist. And he thinks that mm-hmm. capitalism mm-hmm. has benefited him. And they don't even really realize what capitalism in the end does to the average person. In order for, as you stated, for those wealthy folk to make the money they're making, Reggie, they have to trample on other people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this is the thing that really bothers me most about it, Earl, is, you know, the way people attack unions, the way people, you know, said horrible things about unions, the way people just sat back and allowed unions to be destroyed. You sat on the sidelines and watched this stuff happen. You participated in this. And in the end, you didn't realize you were cutting off your nose right. to bite your face. Because when it's those union funny. Wages, they go away. Guess what? The prevailing wages now are going to go lower as well. And that's why when you look at the average American worker today, they're making less money than workers made in 1970, Earl.
People
don't realize
it. No, people don't realize it. And it's so unfortunate. You know, they were able to move, the middle class jobs out. And who has been hurt the most? I mean, It's not just urban people, you know, the paper mills, all those kinds of things were moved out also. And yet the anger and the angst is towards the people who, you know, were hurt the most. And that's the average person who lives in the central city who has not been able to, and, you know, live off the land, so to speak. You know, urban dwellers can't do what people who live in rural areas can do. You know, they've got land, they can plant food, they can do different things that can't be done in these urban centers. And so what do we have? We have anarchy in neighborhoods and in communities and lost and dashed hopes for people in these urban centers, and yet, you know, we keep hearing people, elected officials, saying there's nothing we can do about it. We can't afford this. We can't afford that. And I'm saying, man, what are you talking about? We still have the greatest economy in the world. How can you say what we can't afford to do is what we choose not to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the perfect point, Earl. It's choices. You have choices. You know, I tell people as I travel around the state, and this is what I've seen, Earl. I've seen the problems that were thought of as urban problems now becoming rural problems, right?
Right.
The problems of losing jobs that you saw devastate cities like Milwaukee and Detroit and whatever, right? Okay, that's happened now in these rural communities. Because that factory that was in town went out of business.
Right.
You know, the farms were bought up by some conglomerate. And so now those folks are in a position where they're dealing with something they've never had to deal with before. They're dealing with challenges that they've never had to deal with before because they've always been taken care of. So now what happens when those jobs go away in the rural communities? Well, the same thing that happens in Milwaukee. You start to see challenging behaviors. You start to see people that don't know what to do. But here's the difference, Earl. Black people have been so accustomed to living our lives that way. You know, there's this old saying, we know how to make a dollar out of 15 cents. These people in the rural communities don't know how to do it. They don't have a clue.
Right.
So they're looking now at the need for poverty programs. But guess what? They don't have any poverty programs in these little towns because they've never had poverty. So now they're like, where do I get help to deal with this poverty? Where do I get mental health assistance? Where do I go to get, you know, medical treatment because the hospital, the only hospital in town, closed? They're grappling with that instead of them looking at that situation and blaming the right people for it. They're saying that, oh, we're in this situation because of Milwaukee. Or, you know, it's so ridiculous. But it to me, I've learned something during COVID, Earl, that I never really thought I would recognize. Our education system is garbage. People are so unable to critically think. And it doesn't matter if you went to an urban school, rural school, suburban school, whatever. You're seeing people that you think are intelligent, Earl, saying and doing the most ridiculously idiotic things that you've ever seen in your entire life. And to me, it's a symptom of how poorly we educate people. We don't educate people to make them thinkers, Earl. We educate people to make them be little worker bees. You know, here's your job, do your job, go to work, do blah, blah, blah. We don't teach people to think, to critically think. And we're seeing the results of that because everybody and their grandmothers believe in some ridiculous conspiracy theory that it's like, dude, this isn't a movie. This is the real world. When you have the president telling people to drink bleach, Earl.
I know.
The president. Shot a flashlight down your throat, Earl.
Hey, Reggie, hold that thought. We've got to go to a break. On the line, a good friend and a man who I just love having dialogue with, especially over the airwaves, Mr. Reggie Jackson. He's a consultant of Nurturing Diversity Partners. It's always great to have him on. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.